It feels like a bit of a homecoming of sorts this morning, which is wonderful. And I welcome Josh and Chantel and little Quincy and Katrina and your cousin too. It hasn't escaped my notice that we have a Quincy and a Miles here this morning. So all we need is a Nat or a cab, and that's pretty wonderful. We're talking about listening this morning. The question for us is, how are you listening? How are we listening? And what are we hearing? And I'm not saying this for my sake, but we're hearing the words of Jesus this morning. So how are we hearing them? What are we hearing? Jesus says in our passage, let anyone with ears to hear listen. This is Jesus' invitation. This is often how we start off important conversations, isn't it? We say the word listen. It being sort of the end of summer, I have a little more time in the evenings. I was watching an episode of Seinfeld recently, and in it, George is very proud that he has successfully broken up with his girlfriend, and he comes into Jerry's apartment very happy about this, and then talks about how it happens. And he starts off, I started with the word listen. I said, listen, Marlene. Listen is often how we begin a conversation, and sometimes a difficult or even a challenging conversation. And I think that we're called here this morning, friends, to be challenged. As we hear these words of Jesus, I believe we're called to be challenged by them today. Listen, says Jesus, let anyone with ears to hear listen. And this parable is often called the parable of the sower. It's a very famous parable. It made our title for the summer, the parable of the sower. Although it's only called the parable of the sower in the text, at least in the Gospel of Matthew. It's contained in all three, what we call synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in all three of them. But it's only called the parable of the sower itself in Matthew. And when we examine the parable in each of its settings and the different gospels, we find that in Matthew and Mark, there's a thrust toward the kingdom of God. In Matthew, the parable is set amongst passages that talk about who is in the kingdom of God and the surprises that are contained by who is in the kingdom of God. When we look at the parable in Mark, we find that it's in the center of passages in which Jesus is talking about the growth of the kingdom. In Luke, it's something different. For Luke, throughout his gospel, a lot of the emphasis is based on how we're listening. How we're listening. Earlier in the book of Luke, not long before chapter 8, Jesus tells another parable. He talks about what someone is like who comes to him, who hears his word, and who does it. So he's talking about listening. And Jesus talks about how this person is like a man who builds a house. And he digs deeply, and he lays the foundation of rock. And many of us are familiar, of course, with this parable. And then Jesus goes on to say, he says, the one who hears and does not act is like someone who builds his house without a foundation. And as I say, this is another very famous parable. We used to sing it in Sunday school. The wise man built his house. How many people remember that one? The wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And then we would finish. We would say, so build your house, your life on the Lord Jesus Christ was the last verse. Although we might have more accurately said, so listen to Jesus' words and act on them. Because this is Jesus' point. A little later on, we read that Jesus is in a Pharisee's house. He visits a Pharisee's house. And a woman is described as a sinner. She's bathing Jesus' feet in ointment. And when the Pharisee, when the host, the owner of the house, he grumbles to himself about this. He grumbles to himself. Jesus speaks up and he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. So we're getting the idea that there's a lot of talk about listening here. And Simon responds. He gives the right response. He says, teacher, speak. Teacher, speak. I'm listening. So these are the kind of things that are going on in the book of Luke before we get to our parable. And again, here we have Jesus, and he's speaking to a large crowd, we read. When we come to our story, Luke reports that people from town after town have come to see him. There's a great crowd in front of him. And we've talked this summer about Jesus addressing the lack of response to his message. This is where we started back in June. We talked about Jesus addressing the lack of response. We've also talked about Jesus addressing the large response and asking people to really think about what this is that he's talking about. We heard about him turning to a large crowd and saying, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It's almost like Jesus is telling us not to get too excited about a large number and not to get too downcast about a small number. And when we come to this parable in Luke 8, Jesus has been going around, he's been proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God. And Jesus himself, he describes what's going on like this. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. The deaf hear. And a great crowd has gathered. People from town after town have come to them, or come to him. And he speaks in a parable. I'm going to read the parable. Again, here it is. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. That's the story. And it's a situation from everyday life, as we've been speaking of through the summer. In these parables, Jesus is using situations from everyday life. And it's one that would have been well familiar to his hearers. Galilee was, and in large part is, still quite rural. And they would have understood this. A man went out to sow seed. Yes. They didn't plow before they planted, as we do. This was their farming method. And this is what happens to seed every planting season. Different things happen to it. It's just an everyday thing that Jesus is talking about. And friends, if our emphasis here this morning is on listening, we see that the parable itself is illustrated in the scene in which Jesus is speaking. Picture Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people, after all. If you were just passing by, or if you were merely attending this great event out of idle curiosity, or a desire to be a part of a crowd, or a desire to know what's going on, or fear of missing out, you might take Jesus' words strictly at face value. You might hear him and think, well, he's talking about a man who's sowing seeds. And this is an everyday thing, and it seems maybe a little obvious to be talking about to this large crowd, but hey, if that's his thing, then that's his thing. And that would be it. That would be it. But then we come to what I think for us this morning is the crux of the matter. I think it's the challenge for us this morning. It's Jesus' invitation. And we hear Jesus' invitation in verse 8. I said it at the top. He finishes the story, and he says, as he said this, he called out, let anyone with ears to hear, listen. Let anyone with ears to hear, listen. And so I say, friends, may this be so for us. May we be a group of people who take up this invitation. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. Because there must be something behind what he's saying. I don't think that he's simply talking about farming practices at this point any more than he was simply talking about building practices when he spoke of the wise builder and the foolish builder. And the thing that I really like here is that the disciples come through. I always like it when the disciples come through. We talk a lot about the failure of the disciples. throughout Jesus' life. But sometimes the disciples come through really well. And it gives me hope for me. It gives me hope for all of us. When this kind of thing happens and the disciples come through. And they ask the all-important question of Jesus. And there it is. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. What does this parable mean? In other words, the disciples are saying to him, tell us what this means. Which may sound very simple, but this is their response. And friends, this should be our response all the time. When we're hearing Jesus' words, our prayer should be, tell us what this means. Lord, tell me what this means. Help me to understand this. Help me to know something more of you in this. I said earlier in the summer that my prayer for myself and my prayer for all of us is often that we might be coming to church with a deep desire to know God more. And for this knowing to be borne out then in our lives, to hear and to do, to be changed by what we're doing, what we're hearing rather, to be changed by what we're hearing and the Holy Spirit working in us. In other words, to respond. Because a call without a response is just a call. An invitation without a response is just an invitation. There's nothing more to it. It doesn't mean that God doesn't make the call or spread it widely. The sower is extravagant in his sowing. The sower is flinging the seeds all over the place, regardless of where they're ending up or what's happening to them. And we should be extravagant too. We should be extravagant in making God's invitation known in our words and in our deeds, regardless of where the seeds end up. God's call, like God's grace, is lavish. God's call is lavish. It's abundant. To come to an understanding of God's word, we need to be responding. Real understanding occurs when we respond to the call. In this case, the call is simply, let anyone with ears to hear listen. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. And it is at that point when we're listening that we come to a deeper understanding of the mysteries of God and the mysteries of humanity. This is what we've been going through all summer as we've looked through the parables. We've talked about coming to a deeper understanding of the mystery of God in them and the mystery of humanity. We're familiar, of course. I'm talking about call and response, and you might be wondering what that is. We're familiar with it in church. Some church traditions use antiphons in their liturgy. Adolfo, you know about those? Antiphon is, it's like a choral, it's like a response. It's like a choral call and another response. We talk about antiphonal choirs and things, right, Adolfo? Call and response. Some traditions have things where it's a call and response where somebody will say, God is good, and the response comes. You don't know this one. God is good. And all the time. That's it. Now, we don't do a lot of this in our church, as we can see, because we're Canadian and reserved and all the rest. But we're not unfamiliar with the concept. When we say, and all God's people said, amen, exactly. It's a call and it's a response. It's how we learn. It's how we grow deeper into the mysteries of God and the grace of God and all the things about God. By responding to Jesus' call, some of you may know, I'm glad there's people we haven't seen in a while. You won't know this at all. But I've been taking tap dance lessons since February. Bill McKechnie got into tap dance lessons in January, and I followed him into that, and I'm still doing it. And Yuri's asking for one day maybe a demonstration. Not today, although I will maybe do a little something. But the point of this is at the beginning, so you're learning this dance. And the thing about tap that's really interesting is the musicality involved. Of course, there's musicality involved in any form of dance. And this is obviously putting paid to the whole Baptist don't dance thing. there's a lot of musicality, but the thing about tap is it's the percussiveness of it. It's basically like you're playing percussion with your feet is what's going on. But what we do at the beginning of class sometimes when we're warming up, the teacher will tap out a pattern and then we'll repeat. So it's going, and we all go. That's how we're learning. The call comes. There you go. Yeah. The call comes and then the response is given. And this is how we're learning. We affirm the call in the very act of responding. We don't just leave it hanging out there like a seed on a path. And what we're talking about here, friends, as we look at Jesus, words about what he's just said, we're talking about types of soil. If you look at this parable in our Bibles, the title says the parable of the sower. But I would call it for our purposes this morning the parable of the soils. The parable of the soils. We're talking about what it means to be good soil. And this is what Jesus has been talking about the whole time. Of course, he's not just talking about farming practices. He's not just talking about an everyday occurrence during planting time. He's talking about soils. We're invited to see ourselves in every part of this parable. I don't think that Jesus' description of the four types of soils is meant to compartmentalize people. I don't think Jesus is saying there's four types of people when he tells this parable. I don't think that we're destined or predestined, if that's your thing, to be in one of them. I think that all of these reactions can be operative in any of us at any given time, on any given level. There's many different meanings to parables. This is what we've been saying all summer. There's many different meanings. And there's a lot of ambiguity in parables too. There's ambiguity in this story itself. At one point, Jesus describes the seed as the word of God. And then at another point, he describes the seed as the ones who hear the word of God. One commentator says it almost makes us wish that an explanation hadn't been asked for. But I think it's to remind us, friends, that we never come to an end of understanding. We never come to an end of understanding the mysteries of God and God's grace and love and justice and all the things about God. And that we're constantly invited to listen, and we're constantly invited to ask for understanding. We're constantly invited to ask God to help us to understand, to say, tell us what this means, along with the disciples, and to see ourselves in the different parts of the story. So let's go through it. The ones that are on the path, Jesus says, are those who have heard. And then the devil comes like birds and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. So we're talking here about things that keep the word of God from taking root. Things that keep the word of God from taking root and bearing fruit in our life, in our lives, like the path. The path, of course, would have been the part of the field that the farmer would have walked on, the earth that would have been trodden down by the farmer as he made his way through the field. Paths, in other words, are places in which we're on the move, like streets. Things that are not in and of themselves bad. We need to get places after all. There's nothing bad about a path inherently. There's nothing bad about a street. But they remind us that constant movement, constant being on the go, constant busyness or business is something that can lead to hearts that are packed down. Hearts that are covered with asphalt. I've been referencing Helmut Thielicke and his book, The Waiting Father, on these parables throughout. He says this about the path. He says, a person who is only a path through which the daily traffic passes, who is no more than a busy street where people go rushing by hour after hour and where there is never a movement of rest, will hardly provide the soil in which the eternal seed can grow. People who are always on the go are the most in danger. So how well did these words speak to us? These words speak to me very well. We talked about them last week. The importance of rest. The importance of unitasking, particularly when it comes to things of God. I often think of a prayer retreat that we had not too many years ago. And at this prayer retreat, part of our thing to do was to go off and everybody would go off and pray individually for about an hour. And I remember people came back and we talked about how it went. And one of the things that somebody said was it took them about 10 or 15 minutes just to feel that they were in the mode of praying and in that mode and mindset of connecting with God. And other people agreed. And I remember the point was made, if it takes 10 or 15 minutes to get in the mode, we need to be making sure we're spending more than 10 or 15 minutes a day. This is the challenge, providing soil in which the seed can take root and flourish. The next seeds that Jesus talks about are the ones on the rock, who when they hear the word receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe only for a little while, and in a time of testing fall away. So what's going on here is you can picture sort of a thin layer of soil over rock. There's no roots. There's no depth. There's nothing that will help when a time of trouble comes, and times of trouble will come. At that point for us, perhaps the whole Christ thing is more about emotion. Perhaps the whole Christ thing is more about how good it makes us feel. Perhaps it doesn't get deeper than that. Perhaps our whole Christ thing is an every now and then thing, rather than an all the time thing, rather than a foundational thing. And perhaps we've never heard about Christ's call to die to ourselves. This is what he said to that great crowd. He said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Whoever does not take up his cross. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Perhaps we've never recognized this call from Jesus. Maybe we've never heard it. But you can't say that now because we talk about it all the time. To die to our prejudices, to die to our biases, to die to our preconceptions. Whatever it is we need to die to in order that we may find life in him. And that's the good news, that in doing so we find life that's truly life. Life that will see us through the vicissitudes of life. Hanging on to the one who has taken hold of us in his life and his death and his resurrection. And has given us life of the ages. This is the depth that we want. And Jesus goes on, as for what fell among the thorns, the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And this is why I often say, friends, that we need to keep this in front of us all the time. You know what I mean by that. We need to keep these truths, this Christ thing. We need to keep it in front of us all the time, because we go from here and we're surrounded by the messaging. We're surrounded by the cares, the anxieties. They make it very easy to forget. And I know that we have a lot to be concerned about, because I'm living out there too. I know we have a lot to be anxious about, and I know there are a lot of things to distract us. We need to keep the promises in front of us. And we talk a lot about that, don't we? Keeping the promises in front of us. Promises like, come to me and find rest for your souls. to hear those promises, to be reminded of them. Promises like, I am the good shepherd. Words from Jesus like, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. To hear those words, to be reminded of them, to be reminded of these promises often and meaningfully, and to be reminding one another of them so that we might identify with this, which is where we end up. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. Isn't that good? The ones who when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. And this is why we pray and sing, friends, speak, O Lord. And pray that God would give us the wills to listen, that God would give us the wills to spend time with him, to remember the promises, to be reminded of the promises. We pray that God would help us to hold his word fast and honest and good hearts and bear fruit patiently and enduringly. And you might still be asking, why should we be doing this? And in closing, I want to talk about why. I want to remind us that there's a purpose to all this being good soil. And we sang about it, actually. I didn't really notice this line in Speak, O Lord, that talks about the light of Christ being seen in us. That's a great line. I think it's in the first verse. That the light of Christ may be seen in us today in our acts of love and deeds of faith. Something like that. That's a good line. The call is to be light. And Jesus reminds us here at the end. He says, no one lights a lamp to put it under a jar or under a bed. There's a missional element to all of this. Nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. In other words, God wants to disclose these truths to us. And he wants us to be growing in our heart knowledge of these truths. This is what God wants for us. This is what God wills for us. And the really exciting thing about following Christ, and I know that those of you who have been following Christ for years and decades can attest to this, that there's never an end to coming to an understanding of this, right? It never ends. This is the exciting thing. It's one of the exciting things. It's something God continues to do in us when we're open to it. Pay attention to how you listen, Jesus says, for to those who have, more will be given. We have a choice to make here all the time. I mean, it's not just a choice when we come into church. That's why I said when I'm speaking about listening, I'm not saying so out of any kind of self-serving purpose that you be listening to me. It's up to you whether or not you're going to listen. Because God doesn't force us to listen. God doesn't coerce us into listening. We have a choice to make. And we've heard Jesus' words this morning. God's will for us is that we get to know him more. And in knowing him, share him with others as we go through our days. And so I say, friends, God grant that we would be a people with ears to hear. God grant that we would be a people who are listening. People who hold his word fast in honest and good hearts and bear fruit with patient endurance. God grant that this will be true for each and every one of us. Amen.